Good morning, dear brothers and sisters, and God has given one more privilege like this to study the glorious word. And this morning, I request you to turn with me to the book of Psalm, and in that, please turn with me to Psalm 4. Psalm 4, Psalm written by David. For the choir director on stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Shall we humble our hearts in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you and plead for your blessing on the study of your word. Lord, we pray that you may give us understanding as we study the truth from this psalm. Lord, help us to apply in our daily life. We pray that your name may be honored and lifted up high among us as we study your word. Lord, give us attention to you today morning. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the allegations I still face today is concerning my decision to leave my job and get into pastoral training. Last vacation, when I went to my hometown, a few were asking this question in a very humiliating way. How is the stress levels now? Maybe your stress levels might have come down, isn't it? We all know that it is a hurting statement, ridiculing, making an allegation that you have got into the ministry because the pressure in jobs are very high. They don't understand that getting into a training like this is a call given by God and not connected with stress levels. But it hurts when you hear that statement. And isn't it true that when people make allegations against us, it hurts us because they don't know the real matter, they don't know the background. And isn't it true that people blame you at your workplace? Sometimes maybe your wife is blaming you or the husband is blaming you. Isn't it true that sometimes the boss may blame you? in your workplace. And many times, the temptation is to sin, isn't it, when we react? Or another possibility is becoming despair or get depressed. So today we are going to look at how a child of God can have victory over allegations through God. And this psalm we have read gives a very clear picture that you and I can win over allegations through God. If you look at the psalm very carefully, the title is not giving any indication regarding the context or the background. But you please look at verse 2. We get an indication that David, the writer of the psalm, is going through a period of turmoil. Look at verse 2. We read that, "O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach?" That means David is under some threat. The threat of becoming dishonored. Sons of men are coming with allegations against him. There are false charges framed against him. And we say that very clearly from that verse, isn't it? But if you look at the entire psalm, we don't find David sinning in any way. We don't find David in despair. We find a beautiful psalm written by David, emphasizing the victory that is available to the children of God over allegations, because they are trusting in God. That is the main theme of this psalm. So the message has been titled as, "You can win over allegations through God." And if we look at the structure of the psalm, psalm number 4, we find that the allegations against you can be won over in three ways. First of all, when we look at verse 1, you can win over allegations through God-centered prayer. You can win over allegations through God-centered prayer. In verse 1, we see that the first reaction David did is to pray, not to sin. To pray to God Almighty. And in verse 1 we read that, when I call, did you find that in verse 1, when I call, it gives that indication that when I am calling to God. And at the end of verse 1 again, hear my prayer. That means when David is facing this allegation, he is getting into the mode of prayer. And this prayer also can be categorized as, it is a God-centered prayer. Why it is a God-centered prayer? Look at verse 1. How God is addressed. God of my righteousness. That he is centering on the righteousness of God. That means when David is facing this allegation, he is not claiming that I am perfect, but he is claiming on the righteousness that is given by God unto him. And we all know that God's righteousness, which covers us through Christ, gives us access to the throne of grace at any time. So when we approach God in prayer, here we find that it is a God-centered prayer. It's not based on his self-righteousness. That is the reason why it is a God-centered prayer. The righteousness of God is covering you and me. That gives me the boldness to approach the presence of God at any time. You are adequate because his righteousness is completely covering you. That gives the confidence to approach God in prayer. One more important matter is it is centered on the faithfulness of God. Could you notice that it is not written in present tense, it is written, you have relieved me in my distress. It is used in a past tense. Suddenly David is recollecting the faithfulness of God in the past. You have relieved me in the past. So today also I come to your presence, thinking that, understanding, acknowledging that God is faithful. If you look at the word, the relief in distress means you were in a very tight, confined situation in the earlier phase at some point of time. But through God, you were released in the past when you prayed. And David is clinging on to the faithfulness of God. In the past, you have relieved me in my distress. So today also when I face these allegations by people against him, he's telling that I'm not based on, my prayer is based on not me, it is based on you. Isn't it a victory you can have over allegations because you can go to God? You have access to God because his righteousness completely covers you. At the same time, you know that, Lord, in the past, how many times, dear brothers and sisters, you have experienced the touch of God in your life. The relief God has granted you by his mighty power when you humbled in prayer. So today also is sufficient, dear brothers and sisters, to interfere in your life and give you relief if you are in that confined position. And if you look at this is not theory, dear brothers and sisters. King David exactly practiced this. If you read the book of 2 Samuel, and you all know that there was a period in David's life when David ran away from his son Absalom. And so many allegations were framed against him. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, the beginning, a few verses I will try to summarize. There was a man, his name is Shimei. He came forward and he started cursing David. He made an allegation that you are cursed because you are sitting in the throne of Saul. We all know that the throne was granted to David by God. And you know how the military leader Abishai reacted? He reacted telling, David, let us cut off his head. Let us cut off his head. That's a natural way, tempting to sin. But David, who trusted in God, you know what he told? I will read out the statement, that verse 12 in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction. I don't know why these people are bringing allegations against me. Perhaps the Lord will look on. He desperately wanted God to interfere. Many times we think that you can interfere. Dear brothers and sisters, by self, you will not be able to deal. But through God, you can have victory over allegations. Because he is faithful and God's righteousness covers you completely. You may have many shortcomings in your life, but Bible says you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have access to his throne of grace. At the time of need, you may get help from him. So do you realize that God will act for you because he is righteous and he is faithful? Then the first thing you and I must do is to approach God in prayer. God-centered prayer. At the same time, as a wise Christian, it is essential to evaluate, are these allegations true? You must pause for a time. Is this allegation true? Maybe the pastor is telling the right thing in your life. You may feel offended about it. Maybe the boss is telling that this is your working style. This is something strange. You need to change this. Or the teacher in your school or college may be telling a correction in your life. You need to evaluate. But the scripture is teaching that you and I can have victory through God-centered prayer. The second thing we understand to have victory over allegation is through God-centered testifying. It's a real wonder that after approaching God in prayer, the next thing David is doing is to confront those people who actually troubled him. Many times we shy away, we don't want to do it. But if you look at verse 2 to 5, please look at how verse 2 is starting. It is an address given to the people actually caused trouble in his life. O sons of men, could you notice that address? O sons of men, that means David is addressing the people who actually caused trouble in his life in a Christ-honoring way. And if you look at that testimony, he's testifying. The testimony is not about himself. The testimony is about God. David was a great king, but he's not telling about any of his merits. But David is using that opportunity to testify about his God. And it is, again, I would frame it as God-centered testifying. Why? Because there are two aspects mentioned there. One is he's testifying about his confidence in God. Look at verse 2. Could you notice a question there? It is indicating time. How long? Two times it is indicated in verse 2. How long you will continue like this? He's asking the people who actually caused trouble to him. That means he is very sure that as soon as he approached God in prayer, God is going to bring an answer immediately. God is going to give him relief. So David is very confident that my God is going to act very soon. God is going to interfere in this matter very soon. I'm not all alone. God is going to interfere in this matter soon. So he's saying that my confidence is not on my kingship. My confidence is in the God of the Bible. That means you are winning over the allegation. Because your confidence is in the God of the Bible. And that is the reason we find that he's mentioning how long you will continue like this. And a beautiful statement you can see at the end. Why God should act? The reason is given in verse 3. But know that David wanted the people who are opposing him to know something. What is that? The Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. David is telling, I am owned by God. So a matter that is concerning me is a matter of concern for God. You are owned by God. And if we look at your own life and my own life, who owns you? The one who redeemed you. One who bought you with the precious blood of Christ. He owns you completely. Scripture says you are the apple of his eye. You are so precious in his sight. So scripture is telling, David is telling, I am confident because I am owned by God. I have that unique relationship with God. That again gives a confidence. And he's not remaining silent. He's not telling to his family members, but he's telling to the people who are opposing him. My God is going to interfere. I'm not going to fight with you. But my God is going to interfere very soon. And again, it is a God-centered testifying because David is not only limiting to the victory the Lord will grant him soon. He's taking an extra step. Do you know what is the extra step taken by David? It is testifying that there is salvation in God. Many times we want to win over the allegation. Many times we fail to win over the person who brought the allegation. Do you recognize what is given there? He is preaching the gospel. David is telling, warning at the beginning, in verse 4, tremble and do not sin. David is indicating that sin is a basic cause in your life that leads to such evil behavior. He's getting into the core issue of our heart. You are a depraved person. He's telling God, God is holy. So tremble and do not sin. Do not plan evil in your bed in the evening. He's preaching the gospel and finally he's not ending with sin. He's also telling that there is salvation in God. You repent, offer sacrifice of righteousness and trust in Yahweh. So that you also too be saved. He's not limiting himself to the victory he may gain through God of the Bible, but he also goes much in a mature level to win that person for God. We all know that God saved us from our depravity by his grace alone. The outside person who is accusing us, that person is in a very depraved state. So we see that David is testifying to those people so that they may understand that his confidence is not in the kingship, and also that there is salvation for those people who are wretched in Christ. And we finally, what we find is David is having not only victory over that allegation, because God anyway is going to interfere in that situation. At the same time, he is winning over that person also, telling them to repent. Repent and trust in Yahweh for your salvation. When you look at the cross of Calvary, we find our master hanging on the cross. And he claimed, and it was true, that he is the Son of God. Many people came and alleged that you are not the Son of God. And many people were bringing so many other allegations and accusations against our master when he was hanging on the cross. But do you know how Jesus Christ responded to this? We find in Luke chapter 23, 34. He wanted to win over that
those people who were standing there. Luke chapter 23, verse 34 we read, Father, forgive him, for they do not know what they are doing. They do not know means they are in darkness. They are in depraved state. So Christ wanted them to be saved. And we know that at the end, one person was convicted. The criminal on the cross was convicted by the power of the gospel. Remember me, he told. And he was saved that moment. Today you will be with me in paradise. Do you recognize that? The person who is bringing allegation in your life could be a potential candidate for salvation. The Lord will definitely grant you victory. The Lord will definitely grant you deliverance because you are His. You are owned by God. But could you think about this also, that the person could be a potential candidate for salvation? In Colossians chapter 4 verse 5 we read like this, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Maybe the opportunity that comes in your way, like dealing with an allegation, could be an opportunity to tell about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will that person who is troubling you in your workplace or some other place, can that person find a place in your prayer list that you pray every day, that a confrontation will, you, God will grant me a time to tell the truth so that that person may be saved? You can tell about that, that your confidence is in God. At the same time, it is also possible that the person who is bringing in allegations is a believer. And God may use us an instrument to bring sanctification in the life of that believer. When you pray and patiently wait, you may get an opportunity to confront with that person in a loving way, leading him to his or her sanctification. So, isn't it a wonder, dear brothers and sisters? The scripture is teaching that you and I can have victory not only over the allegation, but through Christ we can have victory over that person too. When we preach the gospel, when we understand they are depraved, they are darkness, they are bound in sin, God may give an opportunity to tell the truth. The amazing grace of God has saved you and me. His grace is sufficient to save that person too. And the final and the third way we find in this text that, dear brothers and sisters, children of God can have victory over allegation, is through God-centered resting. And if you look at the consequence when allegations come to your life and my life, is your minds get disturbed. You don't have peace. You don't get good sleep. Minds are wandering and distracted. You're not able to focus on anything. Look at the statement in verse 6. That statement is a statement of that can lead to despair if it is not followed by the remaining two verses. Verse 6 it says, many are saying, who will show us any good? Who made this statement? Maybe some of the onlookers who are watching the confrontation between David and the enemies. Probably they want to make a comment, who will show you any good? People are all already there making some allegations. Your life is in trouble. Who can cause any good in your life? Many times people say like that, isn't it? When some issues comes, who can show you any good? And that statement also can drive you into a state of despair and unrest. But what did David do when he responded to that statement? We find in that same verse only, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. He is not remaining there, immediately coming into the presence of God. I want to have rest in you. Show your countenance upon me. And you know what he does at the end of verse 8? That night, without remaining in restless state, he goes to bed and sleep. That is what is written in verse 8. I will both lie down and sleep. That means David already had the victory. The allegations which were supposed to make him restless was overtaken by the resting that is available in God. And we find that it is a God-centered rest he enjoyed. Nobody else, dear brothers and sisters, can give you rest when allegations come and disturb your mind. But God can grant you rest, perfect rest, that you can go down and sleep peacefully. And I would say this is a God-centered rest. It is not based on you. It is not based on me. It is only granted by God because of two things. One is the rest is based on the joy God has given him. Could you notice that in verse 7? You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. God, I am satisfied in the joy you have given me. Others have wine, they have grain, but my joy in God is much above that, and it is stable. What could be that joy, dear brothers and sisters? The joy of forgiveness. The joy of salvation that fills your heart, that there is no condemnation for you and me in Christ. That joy and peace will transcend. The whole mind will be calmed down when you and I know that I am perfectly owned by God and I'm saved. Even if that person comes with an allegation, I know that my position before God is I am completely forgiven. And what kind of a relief David had. That night itself he went and slept peacefully. That is God-centered joy. Salvation. The joy of salvation. That nobody can take it away from you because it is granted by God. And one more aspect of God-centered resting is that his security is in God. Look at verse 8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. Immediately the word for is used. What is the reason? Look at the word used three times. You alone. Oh Lord. That is giving a clear emphasis that David is telling my security is in God. Today I can go and sleep at night. I don't fear any enemy. I don't fear those men who are telling something strange. I don't worry about those men who may harm me. I am maybe in the best place. I am protected with all security guards. But David is telling, you alone is my security. And security in God alone. That, dear brothers and sisters, can drive your mind to rest in God alone. And when this happens, what actually you are having? You are having victory. Because allegations that were supposed to harm you has been overtaken by the resting you have in God. Because the joy of salvation and the security that is only available in God had made you rest in Him, you have victory over the allegations. Already God is going to interfere. At the same time, on that day, you have victory because your mind is settled in God. I remember, dear brothers and sisters, the beginning phase of my career, I worked in a construction company, and on one day a VIP came and visited the construction project site. And something happened and a particular machinery was not working. I'm a new recruit standing near the machinery. The project manager thought that I am the person responsible for that machinery. And the project manager started shouting at me left and right. Because it is an insult to the company that VAP came and the machinery is not working. All my colleagues were worried. This is the end of this person. Because he cannot handle it, the kind of humiliation he did in front of others. I was taken aback at the beginning stage, but slowly, by God's grace, my mind settled in rest in God. And to everyone's surprise, just I went down, and that evening I had a very peaceful sleep because my mind was resting in God. But the next day, then I prayed, and next day the project manager, the first thing he did was to call me and settle the matter, because probably he did not get sleep during the night. But the truth is, a child of God can have perfect rest at any point of time, because the joy is granted by God. The security is granted by God. And do you realize, dear brothers and sisters, that you can have rest in God? Will you find rest in the promise of salvation? Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, dear brother, dear sister, now there is no condemnation for you, for those in Christ Jesus. That can, even good songs when you sing, you are relieved because your mind is resting in the joy of salvation. But there's a warning today, people do. They find rest in entertainment. Sometimes people even go after sleeping pills to get rest. But through God, you can have perfect rest. More than games, more than internet surfing. God can give perfect rest. Because He gives you, already gifted you with the joy of salvation. Even yesterday evening, I went through a very brief period of unrest. But when I started singing the songs of Zion, I was filled with the rest in God. We can overtake any allegation. So dear brothers and sisters, what a great victory God is granting over allegations through Him. And let us pray that the Lord will grant us the grace to apply this in your life so that you have victory. Even Romans chapter 8 verse 37, Apostle Paul is telling, in all these things you overwhelmingly conquer. That means, do not allow allegations to overtake you, but allow God to overtake the allegations through God. Shall we humble our hearts in prayer? Lord, this morning we come with worship because you are God Almighty. You have granted us salvation. You have granted us peace. When the enemies come against us, we know that the victory belongs to you. Even all the dear brothers and sisters, we don't know what personal struggles everyone is going through. But you know the hearts individually. And you are able to interfere. You are able to act on the behalf of your children. Because you own them. You are their master and Lord. We pray that grant us victory through Christ every moment in our life. Thank you, Lord, that today you have proved that your scripture is sufficient for every matter in our life through the study of Psalm 4. May your name be exalted. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name.